Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. During the show, you can join the conversation by calling 646-727-3206 or join the Transformation Cafe live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Okay, good evening, good evening. How is everybody tonight? And if you're listening to us on demand, we thank you for checking us out after the hours. Tonight we're going to have kind of an interesting show. We're going to be talking about the power of prayer. With all the different stuff that's been happening on the planet, I'm sure there's lots of that going on, and wanted to see what our diners are kind of thinking about that. So, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. It's great to be here.
And it's great to have you here. We thank you. Let's scoot on up to the table here and see what we're going to do. And Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Mr. Jamie's doing pretty good. And I'm
pretty
scooting
good.
Up
how
to the table here.
How is it in Seattle tonight?
This is Mr. Jamie calling from Seattle, Washington, in the heart of the Great Pacific Northwest. It's very actually nice.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys get some rain? Have they been getting rain, or what's going on with that?
A day and a half ago or so, not so much.
Yeah.
It's actually calmed down a little bit. It's supposed to be the last hurrah of summer this upcoming week.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, hard to believe it's almost fall.
I know. Can you? Well, fall is official on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
September 22nd is the fall equinox. And so we're
going to
be.
Do they actually do the time change in, too?
No, I don't think so. Do you know about that, Gloria? When is the time change?
Is that the next month?
That's normally around Halloween.
It's normally
like
around.
Halloween,
yeah, it's usually,
right?
I think they switched it. They switched it because they actually do it the week. It's usually the Sunday after Halloween, whatever that is, because they wanted to make sure that it's light outside for the kids. Because usually they would always change it right before Halloween, and all these kids are going out in the dark. You know. Yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I have noticed that it's definitely there's less light in the evening now.
Yeah.
Hey,
Jamie,
new market for kids: glow in the dark tattoos.
Ooh.
They kind of have them, kind of have those already. But
I know, but
of,
I didn't mean the stuff that you like stick on.
Oh, you mean like a decal?
No, never mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if they would allow you to get injected with that stuff. You actually put it under your skin. I don't know if I want that. It's enough to have it on your skin. That's a topical kind of thing.
Well, they do have inks that do under black light they glow. Yes, that is absolute.
What? How long do they last, though?
Well, as long as the person has them, I don't know if they'll be as strong. And it's kind of something I don't do. I don't do that type
of
work.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to do that either.
Oh, no, you have to go to somebody that has a particular skill in that type of work, you know.
Uh-huh. But, I mean,
it's nothing about the sun. It's more of luminosity through, like, a black light style.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. I did not know about that.
There you go.
I know, you think you know everything, and you're just wrong. There's always something new to know. That's for sure. So tonight I done a little looking around, and really with the what's kind of going on in Colorado with the flooding and all that. Had a friend of mine. He was sharing about his brother that had gotten himself kind of stranded at home. He's been there. He's gonna have to be waiting until the waters reside and subside, and his whole road just disappeared. it's the flooding just went, and now they don't have a road out there. He can come out, he can go out a back way to go get provisions and stuff like that, but if he leaves his house, he can't come back in. So they're, you know, so we're, a lot of us in our business network group, we were talking this morning and we're just saying, wow, we really want to pray for your brother and what's all that. So all this, you know, collective prayer got me thinking about the power of prayer. And there's a lot out there on prayer and, you know, quite a bit of research and things like that. So this one, there was a few different things that I saw that I thought was really interesting. One thing I wanted to bring up first was, you know, this whole idea that, can a prayer be something that really, focused prayer can really change things. So it said, how many of you have witnessed the power of prayer? It can be a single heartfelt prayer on the power of the mass focused prayer. I'm a true believer of prayer. My granddaughter was diagnosed deaf shortly after she was born. The family was in shock, as you can imagine. My wife brought a book on sign language and we decided to just deal with it. A week after she was born, I laid by her sleeping and started to pray as hard as I could. I prayed to God to give her her hearing. I went to church that Sunday and asked the congregation to pray for her. To make a long story short, my daughter took her back for a follow-up with an exam, and the doctor was so perplexed he couldn't believe it because she said her hearing had come back. Some hearing loss, she had just a little bit in her lower range, but other than that, she had good hearing. Later, they found out that her adenoids had become enlarged, and that was actually blocking her tubes, in her ear tubes, causing there to be a reduction in the hearing. So once the adenoids were removed, the problem was solved. But she remembers her wife saying that the doctor cured her doctor when I replied, not without a lot of prayer. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing first of all, that they gave the doctor credit for that. And second of all, just it was a twofold thing where, you know, this idea that I'm praying as hard as I can. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing for them to say. And then the collective prayer. I know with prayer, and Gloria, this might be a good, interesting conversation if you could help us kind of from your perspective, the difference between prayer and meditation. Or setting like an intention of that, or just kind of going into a quiet space and focusing. What do you think about that? Gloria,
well,
I didn't hear a question in there.
Huh?
The difference between prayer and meditation, is that the question?
Yeah, what do you guys think the difference is between prayer and meditation?
Well, I would say, I guess prayer is more of an intention and an asking. I don't know whomever you pray to, and when you meditate, I think you just you're trying to try to settle down or clear your brain pattern or calm yourself, and however you do.
Mhm. What do you think, Gloria? Gloria, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. Are you thinking about it?
No, I'm sitting at the dining table here. I'm eating, and my mouth is full.
Oh. Well, it is the Transformation Cafe, so you know you eating it is appropriate. So that's okay.
Mm.
I know
the difference between prayer and meditation for me, when I hear you say that and you ask the question, I, in my own mind, I just think, well, that is such an easy answer. And then I think about the people that may not know that difference or have that definition. And so coming at it from, I guess I would call it a humble space, the idea for me in the difference between prayer and meditation is that when you're in prayer, you are connecting not only your thoughts, but you're putting intention and you are investing emotions within whether it be a conversation, a request, a a giving of gratitude, whatever it is, you have different emotional and different physiological things that are going on, even though the brainwave patterns may stay the same. On a physical, medical level, there's been a lot of studies done about the power of prayer and healing. And not only is there an energetic connection that we create based on our energetic bodies that are then tied into our emotions, which help to, it's like when you have mathematics and you have a number that you put to, say, the power of 10 or the power of 2. It's an exponential multiplier that then quantifies even more the desire that you have. And the idea of investing your heart into your prayer then magnifies the intentions on an energetic level, and then physiologically it also helps to appeal or appease the emotional nurturing that people need.
Uh-huh.
And so when people feel emotionally nurtured through spiritual nurturing,
uh-huh,
there's a sense of peace and trust and the belief that it is. Because when you have prayer, it's been said that when you ask in the name of the Son, when you say, "In Jesus' name I pray," coming from a Christian faith, that because you ask that way, it means that you truly believe, and those things are granted. And I've experienced that to that level, and it's really interesting because when you truly believe, you're putting not only the power out into the universe and the connection with spirit and all of the non-physical, the intangible, but you're also putting the energy into the physical and the tangible, and then you're also nurturing your own spirit and soul so that you have a sense of peace. And that's like giving somebody a hug. You know, it kind of seals the deal. As it's the only way I can really explain that. So it's very different because in meditation, you're just connected with the spirit, you're connected with you, but you're not really putting emotion in it. I would say that with meditation, you look to calm yourself and to become more focused.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a different intention, which means that there's a different action that occurs.
Mm-hmm. I think I've been listening to a lot of stuff on theta, you know, theta healing and the theta wave, and it seems that, you know, because theta is a very slow mind frequency. You know, it's just like we go into the alpha state when we're sleeping, and theta is just above alpha because of the frequencies work. And I'm sure on whatever level that's part of it, because in meditation and prayer, there's that slowing down of the mind, so you're not having all the chatter and things like that that occurs. But I was thinking about that when it comes to levels of, say, you know, prayer. I've heard, I was thinking of Edgar Cayce, and he was known as the sleeping prophet back in the day. He was in the 40s, wasn't he? In the 40s and 50s, 30s, or, about that time period.
Yes, and even earlier, I imagine, like in the 30s.
Yeah, but he would actually sleep, and he'd lay down and kind of go into a trance, and then he would basically be talking while he was in the trance. But when I was younger, one of the first introductions I had to that, because, you know, I was born, you know, raised in that whole Christian thing, and hadn't really thought about meditation or anything like that. And I'd gone to a bookstore, and one of his books was actually in the spiritual section. I pulled it out and I started looking at it, and it had this whole chapter on prayer versus contemplation. So prayer, talking to God, and then contemplation would be you'd be listening, right? And I went up to the counter to go ahead and buy the book, and they said, "We don't have this book. You can just go ahead and take it. It's not something we're supposed to have on our shelves." Yeah, I thought that was very interesting.
Wow, you was meant for you.
I guess so. Kind of divine appointment kind of thing happening with that. But, you know, so when it comes to levels of contemplation, meditation, coming from that, just that lower, you know, delta wave, you know, I mean, theta wave, is just really, really interesting. I know they've also done studies with meditation where, you know, then we talk about the power of prayer, we even have the power of meditation. When they've done several scientific studies where they get groups of people to meditate together, and they would actually focus on lowering crime rates and things like that in certain areas. And there was definitely a corresponding, incidence of crime, and when prayer was being conducted, and the level of crime was definitely less. So it's very,
well,
very
and
interesting.
That takes when you have the group, then that exponentially, in addition, because I was talking about how you couple or you enhance the healing process through the combination of emotions and things.
Right.
When you have a group of people, then you're even putting that to a higher power, because you're taking your exponentials and exponentialing them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the reason I thought that story was interesting, because the person themselves, you know, was a grandmother that prayed for a granddaughter for her hearing, but then she went to church and she asked the whole congregation to pray. And I'm just taking it to a whole new level of just, you know, that much more in thought form, focusing on that one thing. I've heard people talk about, on an angelic level, you know, when you're working with your angels, that the angels say that, you know, I've heard it said that prayer is very, very important, and that collective prayer is just way, way more important, has a big significance when it comes to levels of energy, be it healing or clarity or whatever you're asking for, can be very, very significant. So, you know, depending on your perspective of believing in angels and things like that, I've heard and read some things on that that I thought was very, very interesting. Because, you
well,
know, in some ways, you know.
I can tell you that I had a job and wanted to move into another job because I had hit the ceiling for my possibilities in that company. And I went down and I was sharing with the receptionist, and she took that I wanted to get this job. She took it to her church, and she told me afterwards, she said, well, she said, I took it to church and everybody prayed on it. The next day I got a call, I got the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was definitely, this other job, I really was underqualified for it. I had never done it before, and I got the job. I was like, oh, cool.
Well, divine intervention. See, there you go. So that kind of goes into the who you know. You know, who do I know that can do a prayer support group for me? You know, because I know
well,
when I'm doing...
That, or you could just go to the different churches and ask them to pray for you, because they love to have people to pray for.
Yeah, well, you know, and you usually when you do go into a service, they always have those slips for, you know, for different kinds of prayer for people to get focused on stuff. You know,
right? I there's a church down the street from me, and I go on Sunday mornings and join their prayer circle, and they pray for people. You know,
anything
that they can pray for, that's what they want to do.
So I just think that's so cool, because I, you know, when I was studying the Bible and things like that, you know, that was just a part of our regular Bible study, is we all swapped our phone numbers, and when somebody had an issue come up, we just started the prayer chain, and everybody was calling each other to let them know what was going on with stuff. You know, back in the day before we texted one another, hello, we were doing phone calls instead to kind of give people the lowdown on what needed to be prayed and focused on, kind of thing.
So now we have a more express line to God, right? Technology stepping in.
I don't know. That's a good question too. Well, I think there's a level of the now moment, though. You know what I mean? When it comes to levels of being just right here, right now, and having a level of being present with any kind of a need or a focus or an action when it comes to something like that. Because, I mean, everything's just gotten so much more to the second, you know, when it comes to stuff like that. It's like I had a friend, she just became a grandmother, and the baby was only just about 6 pounds when he was born, and they had to bring him back to the hospital because he had jaundice. And so it was interesting that the father was very upset because he had to go to work and stuff, because, you know, they'd already brought started bringing the baby home and stuff, so he was concerned about that. And I thought, how fortunate he is if he could still be working and be able to check stuff and things like that. So, I mean, within seconds, he would know if there was any kind of an issue instead of trying to track him down and have a phone call and all that other kinds of stuff. When it comes to levels of just kind of keeping yourself aware of, you know, what's happening, you know, someplace else, that kind of thing. So it hopefully can give you more peace of mind because, you know, you'll know if there's anything to be concerned about just that much more quicker. So, you know, but, you know, along with that, too, it kind of comes to that point of, like, what you don't know is maybe a good thing. Because when it comes to worrying and things like that, that doesn't serve you either. When it comes to level
too much information, too.
Yeah, exactly. Too much information. So, yeah. And that's a good point, too, because when it comes to stuff like that. So why going into prayer and looking at that level of having a level of emotional investing and coming from that heart level with the energy. Because, you know, we've done shows talking about the dynamics of the heart energy and the heart being the most dynamic place of just radiating out, having things moving into a new level of action and pointedness, that it's really coming from that heart level instead of the head that can really be a more powerful impact. Go ahead.
I do want to interrupt there because when you think about it, if you take a moment, one of the classes that I taught on healing, it had to do with identification of you being separate from your body. And when you look at, when you consciously feel where you think you are in your body, you know, because you don't feel yourself in your fingers. You don't really feel yourself in your head, even though you think there, you don't really feel that you are physically there. You're not in your feet. And the heart space, that heart chakra area, is where you feel that you are. I haven't heard of anybody saying they feel anywhere else. So that's where that pinpoint of God's space is.
Yeah, it's interesting when you, because like even if when it comes to levels of prayer, you know, I've heard ways, you know, just putting your hands together, the two hands, you know, the chakras that are in your palms of your hands, very, very powerful, whether you know, you place it at your heart or put your hands together, that's a very powerful connection.
That has to do with completing an energetic circle, you know, so like when you, there are some practices that believe that you should not cross your ankles because it interrupts the flow. And so when you sit with your legs down, or if you sit in meditation, you really don't cross your legs. And so you might touch your hands together. You might touch your feet together. It's about creating that circuit, the circuitous flow of electric energy.
Yeah, because usually when somebody's going to do any kind of a prayer or a meditation or something, it's always, you know, your hands, you know, just comfortably, you know, placed on your lap or on your legs and making sure your feet are touching the floor, you know, to get the connection kind of thing. So, Gloria, do you think that saying a prayer for the world peace actually helps to create peace?
I think it depends on the amount of energy that's invested, the emotion that's invested. It's the intention that we give that gives it. It's like adding that boost that powers the rocket to actually escape the planet's gravitational pull. You have to have the energy behind it. You can't just say something and not mean it and have it happen. And I do know that, you know, like when we had 9/11, and one of the things, I went and took the day and meditated at the beach and just sat there. It was a combination of guided visualization, meditation, and it wasn't so much prayer, but it was about pulling in that healing energy, you know, and I ended up blanketing the planet with pink energy, and that was what was identified as the energy of love, and it was just to help the healing and the calm. And so I don't know if that helped the world at all, but I felt that I had contributed.
Yeah, and I think that's something that is like just on whatever level to have it be significant. I'm thinking of way back when Japan had the earthquake, and then there was a tsunami that was heading toward Hawaii. And
yeah,
I remember people, I had quite a few people call me, and they were all freaking out because I had two or three people that I knew that were actually on the Big Island. And we all just started, sending love and energy and prayer energy to that. And then, you know, they wound up having higher tides, but it didn't do anything like they had feared. I mean, you know, it was just really amazing how, and they said that I've been watching it out in the ocean, and the tsunami just kind of dissipated.
Well, and
all of a sudden it just kind of fell apart.
Right, and I was doing Sweat Lodge during the California fires that they had a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was all around us. And the facilitator of the event was holding space and just keeping everything at bay. That entire space was not affected.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we would change the direction of the wind so that it would move away from the location instead
mm-hmm.
of encroaching. It was really interesting because you could see real-time responses. The real-time
mm-hmm.
response is what the brain needs for the human psyche to believe.
Right, right. And so that theta thing that I've been listening to, it's been very interesting because it talks about the energy of the way that our circuitry works on a very quantum physics level. And it was talking about, you know, just a regular thing with Newton's philosophies with gravity and just the way that, you know, things work with the different rules of reaction and, you know, equal reaction and stuff like that. But having that level of probability instead of, you know, everything kind of coming from a level of being potential as opposed to just, you know, the core of having things change or not change. And there's always that probability of the not knowing thanks to quantum physics, because there's always that outside possibility that things are not what they seem. And it's actually more not what they seem than what we, you know, have normally thought about. So when it comes to levels of prayer, I know on whatever level that's very connected to that one. Like you're saying, you know, where is that energy shifting those, you know, at a quantum level to have things shift and change? And if we're having multiple levels of light getting sent in that direction, you know, how can it not change really on a certain level? Once you understand that and move it in that level, it's pretty cool. It's very, very cool.
All of a sudden, as you're talking about that, I'm seeing all these random quirks in amongst all of the light and the energy that's been going there. And it's popping up at the weirdest places.
Well, I always think of, like, you know, when you've got all those little particles when you're looking at light, you know, and all of a sudden you're just, like, looking at, like, and it's not necessarily, you know what I mean, it's just a little bit of an atmosphere kind of thing. You're looking up there, yeah, like dust or whatever. You're like looking at it,
right.
And you're going, oh wow, look at that. That's like a quantum physics right there. Being in a sparkly soup. Sparkly soup.
I know.
Kind of thing kind of going on.
It's very shiny.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I thought tonight we would go ahead and end in prayer. We got about a minute and a half here, and just kind of all of us on whatever we want to kind of put into the prayer. And just be sending love and pink. I love that. Pink light to the planet. I think that's a beautiful thing to do. So, you know, whatever people are wanting to be sending out on that level. So just really listening up to, you know, whatever you want to have as your creator with source, and just listening in light and love that everyone gets, you know, especially their basic needs met, and that every people can be happy and healthy and really just value one another for just the wonderful beings that we are on the planet, and have people be safe and get their needs met. So that's what I pray for. Anything else you want to add? What, Jamie?
Very good. You have,
ditto?
Well, that's very good. Very, very
pink
well
ditto.
Said.
Okay. And then the pink ditto. The pink ditto from Jamie. Okay. Gloria, anything you'd like to add?
No, I think you covered it quite well.
Okay. Well, you know, short, simple, and sweet. There you go. And that's all we are, you know. May all the beings and all the worlds be happy, healthy, and having their joy met. So there you go. And that could be everything. So as always, always thank you guys for joining me here at the cafe, and we'll see you here next week.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.